don't know my story, all the things that I've been through. You can't feel my pain, what I had to go through to get here. You'll never understand my praise. Don't try to figure it out. My worship is free.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. Today we continue our series entitled Worship While We Wait. The purpose of the series is to help us better understand how we can spiritually utilize the time we have, whether in quarantine or in transition from our past reality to our future. Today's topic is worshiping while wounded. The definition of worship is to assign worth or value to something. Let's read today's scripture. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 14. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Last verse, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how, asking God that you will open up hearts and open up minds to receive what it is that you have for your people. And God, that you will use me as your messenger. God, that we will leave this place not the same way that we came, that our eyes may be open, that our ears will be able to hear your word, and that our spirit will be in alignment with receiving a word from you. In your precious and holy name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Worship while wounded. John, in the opening of our series, Worship While You Wait, revealed an example of Jesus describing the future of worship. When Jesus had an encounter with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well and said, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me to give you fresh living water. And then Jesus said, the time is coming. It has in fact come when those who worship God must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. Everyone that worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. John describes the future of worship. Matthew describes the cost of worship. If the people described in Matthew 5 were a team, the team would be called blessed. Listen to the type of people on Team Blessed. They are all wounded. Have you ever been wounded? They had deep wounds, are the cost of worship. Listen to the wounds that they had. The poor in spirit, mourners, the meek, the hungry and thirsty, mercy givers, the pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted, reviled, falsely accused. Have you found yourself ever on that list as being wounded? The verses in today's text, the opening phrases of the Sermon on the Mount, often called the Beatitudes, hold some of the Bible's most beautiful and best loved poetry. Part of its beauty lies in the fact beauty comes from deep painful wounds? Is there ever something that you went through that brought you pain, but on the other side of it, something beautiful was birthed? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to inherit the earth or to be called the children of God? The poor in spirit are those who are spiritually bankrupt because of the circumstances of life, are those that know little about spiritual things but want to learn. Those that mourn are those who suffer pain from loss or a void. The meek are those who love to care for and serve others with humility. The hungry and thirsty are people desperate for righteousness. The merciful are those who love people and would rather give second chances than render justice. The pure in heart are those who love only what is good. Peacemakers are those who are in harmony with the Lord, gaining knowledge from Him and wanting what He wants without the loss of life, pain, or suffering. And the persecuted, falsely accused, and reviled are people that love and care for others, even though they are mistreated and misunderstood. There's something of a progression there, from those who simply want to learn, to those who actively want to be good people, to those who actually are good and acting it out for the love of others. All of those descriptions in Matthew 5 describe wounded worshipers. Once again, have you found yourself? Can you identify with someone on that list? Are you the person on that list? Those people gave their lives for God's purpose. Giving your life is assigning value, which is how worship is defined. In other words, the value of the gift is the cost someone is willing to pay. The cost here is an entire life, worshiping God, giving your life to His purpose. God causes deep wounds, but worshiping while wounded, it has its rewards. Worship while wounded. And what is the reward for serving God, worshiping God, giving your entire life to God with these type of wounds? The kingdom of heaven. And that gives you comfort, the earth, fulfillment, mercy, seeing God, being adopted into God's family, ownership in heaven, and a great heavenly reward. The moral of the story is, if you're going to reign with Christ, you must also suffer with Him. The good news is that you will suffer in this life, whether you serve God or not. You might as well suffer with someone that will be victorious on the other side of the suffering. Worship while wounded. In order to make today's points, I'm going to call three witnesses, one for each point of emphasis, by sharing their biblical stories. Their stories will testify in support of our scripture text. The first witness is David. I'm sure you're familiar with David. Number one, wounded worshipers must surrender. Psalms 30 verses 1 through 6 is a picture of David in complete surrender before God. David says, "I will worship you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and has not made my enemies to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from the grave. You kept me alive." Somebody was trying to take you out, but God kept you alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Sing unto the Lord, saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. According to Dan Allender, the Bible offers a central paradox about life. If you try to keep your life, you are fated to lose it. If you give up your life, you will find it. Whether you believe the Bible or ignore it, whether you think it's a collection of wisdom or insanity, or can't deny the irrefutable logic in the paradox of giving up your life, which is the definition of worship. In order to find it, think about trying to fall asleep. The harder you try to nod off the longer you stay awake. Or say you forget someone's name, ransack your brain trying to come up with it, and seldom will the name appear. As I've gotten closer to 50, I feel that time after time. But stop thinking about it, and often the name will surface. Think about trying to find an item you've lost. You will often discover all the items you weren't looking for before finding the misplaced item that prompted your search. These simple examples reveal the life required surrender for us to gain what we desire. Worship falls in this category. Worshiping while wounded will definitely cost you something. The cost involves naming someone very painful, some very painful realities about life, about others and yourself that requires surrender. David surrendered his life to God. Wounded worshipers must surrender. I can give you an example about myself having to surrender. In 2017, I went through divorce. I lost my aunt. I lost my uncle. I found myself in the midst of a hurricane, which I shared with you on last week. And after coming out of the hurricane, I found myself with salmonella and I had to go into the hospital. I was hospitalized. There was so much that was happening in my life. I felt like I couldn't even see straight. I sat down and I had a conversation with my father. He came here to the city to relieve me and to take over some of the ministerial and pastoral duties and making sure that the flock was covered by a shepherd as I was healing in my physical body, but also in my spiritual body because of all that I had endured. I sat down with him in my living room one morning and I said, Dad, I need to talk to you. And I said, I want to turn in my resignation. I can't do it anymore. I'm completely overwhelmed. My life has been turned upside down. I don't know left from right. And he looked right back at me as I sat there and his tears were rolling down my cheeks. And he said, did God call you? Do you feel that you were called for this assignment to minister to the people of God, to care for the people of God? And I said, yes. Yes, I know that I was called for this assignment, but after all that has happened, after all that has occurred, I just think I need to step back. He said, this is not the time to step back. This is the time to give in to God, to surrender to God, to fight for the anointing and the power that he has placed over your life. So just like David surrendered his life to God, he was a wounded worshiper, must surrender. David was not born into royalty. He entered life as a humble shepherd, had to fight giants and tribes. He was thrown into quarantine, isolation because of fear for his life. His newborn son died. His best friend died. His boss tried to kill him. He was forced to live in caves and on the run. David cried and sang God's praises. David endured God's anger. David remembered God in his pain. In exchange for his wounded worship, God lifted David, made David's enemy silent. David was healed. David's soul was resurrected from the grave. David was kept alive. David was kept from falling into the pit. Joy came in the morning. David worshiped while wounded, but completely surrendering to God. I'll tell you that once I came back off a sabbatical and it was Christmas Sunday and I went back into that pulpit, the church was filled with people. And the Lord God began to minister to me as I began to minister to them. Souls were saved that day. Members came to the church that day. People gave their lives to Christ that day. And if I had kept my mind focused on what I thought I should do, which was throw in the towel, those people might not now be covered under the blood of Jesus and be worshipers for God and not even have an understanding that they too have to worship when they're wounded, when they go through their battle, because the battle is not ours, but it belongs to the Lord. We don't worship God while wounded because of the rewards, but there is a reward for worshiping while wounded. For David, it was that he rose to lead a dynasty, was described as a man after God's heart, had a vision for the temple of God, had a son that built the temple in Jerusalem, and David became a central figure and the three major religions of the world worship while wounded. My second witness is Job. We talked about Job a couple of weeks ago. The point Job will prove is that wounded worshipers can serve. That's number two. Wounded worshipers can serve. I know sometimes you get it fixated in your mind, just like I did, because I was wounded, because I had been through death, divorce, and disease. I felt like I could no longer serve, but wounded worshipers can serve. Job served God even though he was wounded. How do we know? Job 1:22 says, "And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." That is one of the most fascinating verses in the Bible, because this is the first time of record that someone in the Bible was severely wounded, even though they lived righteously. The calamity of Job's life was all wrapped into one word, this. "And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Well, what was this? This equals all of the times Job was wounded. It doesn't seem fair to encompass all of Job's pain with one word as seemingly generic as this, but I'm thankful that whatever this was, all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, what was this? Over the course of one day, this was Job being informed that his sheep, servants, and 10 children had all died due to thieving intruders or natural disasters. This was Job's ripped clothes and shaved head in the midst of his sorrow. This was the tears Job cried as he listened to his spouse tell him, "Curse God and die." This was God allowing Satan to attack Job, even though Job was perfect, upright, and had done nothing and nobody wrong. This was the distress and terrible skin sores. This was Job's deep afflictions. This was Job's best friend accusing him instead of comforting him. This was Job regretting the day he was born. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In other words, in spite of his wounds, Job kept worshiping God by serving God's ultimate purpose, which was to prove to Satan. Job wasn't worshiping God because of his good life and wealth. He was worshiping God because of who God is. We shouldn't worship while wounded because of the rewards. We worship while wounded because it's the right thing to do, but there are rewards. God blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the beginning. Part. Job gained 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. Job also had 7 more sons, 3 more daughters. Worshiping while wounded has its rewards. Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the 4th generation. Job was given double for his trouble because in all of this, he sinned not. He continued to give God his life to God. He worshiped while wounded. God deserves everything we have, our lives, our love, our time, our money, our possessions, our relationships, our emotions, our everything. And Jesus said, "No man that gives up houses and land with relationships for my sake will lose their reward. Great is your reward in heaven." Worship while wounded. I have already called David and Job as witnesses to prove we can worship while wounded. By my final witness is my star witness. My third and final witness is Jesus. I call Jesus a witness to prove wounded worshipers have a savior. Point number three, wounded worshipers have a savior. Isaiah 53:1-5. "Who believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and acquainted with grief, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The award-winning Australian Christian group Hillsong wrote, "You were wounded for my sin, and you were bruised for all my shame. You were broken for my healing. Only by the cross am saved. I'm saved. You're the mender of the broken. To every outcast, a friend and comforter, I come boldly to your presence. Lord, I bow before your throne. You're my healer, my redeemer. You're my hope, my life, my all. You hear the cry of the broken. He hears the cry of the broken because he was broken. Wounded worshipers have a savior because on a hill called Calvary, a man named Jesus stopped being a man and died the death of every sinner on earth. Blood spilled from his nailed, damaged hands and feet. Blood and water streamed from him being stabbed in his side with a javelin. Before his death, Jesus declared his blood would be shed to take away the consequences of our sinful actions. While wounded, Jesus worshiped God because he surrendered and served God's purpose. The example of that is when Jesus encouraged his mother, "Forgive the thief," and when he gave his physical life for our eternal life. That is the ultimate example of worshiping while wounded. There is a story familiar to some of you called Pete the Cat. In the story, Pete the Cat had a new pair of white shoes. Pete the Cat went walking down the street wearing his brand new white shoes, and Pete started singing along the way. His song was, "I love my white shoes, I love my white shoes, I love my white shoes," all along the way, Pete the Cat stepped in a pile of strawberries. Pete didn't stop singing or moving. He just changed his tune and started singing, "I love my red shoes, I love my red shoes, I love my red shoes," all along the way, Pete stepped in some blueberries. He didn't stop singing. He just changed his tune and kept moving. His new tune was, "I love my blue shoes. I love my blue shoes. I love my blue shoes." Along the way, Pete stepped in some doo-doo. He didn't stop singing, though. He just kept changing his tune and kept moving. His new tune was, "I love my brown shoes. I love my brown shoes. I love my brown shoes." Along the way, Pete the Cat stepped in a puddle of water. The doo-doo was washed away, but now his shoes were wet. Pete didn't stop singing, nor did he stop moving. He just changed his tune and started singing, "I love my wet shoes. I love my wet shoes. I love my wet shoes." His shoes changed from white to red to blue to brown to wet as he stepped in piles of strawberries, blueberries, and other big messes. But no matter what color or condition his shoes were in, Pete kept moving. Pete kept singing. Pete found perspective and never lost his enthusiasm. Pete the Cat can teach what David, Job, and Jesus illustrated. Whenever we step in the messes of life, whenever we find ourselves in deep water, keep on moving. Don't let anything take away your song. In other words, worship while wounded. But I don't really need David, Job, or a cat to tell me about being wounded through divorce, the pain of criticism and mockery, cynicism because I am a female preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, two close mentors and bosses suddenly dying, the pain of being told my child would not be able to see beyond a certain age, molestation, food poisoning, running off the side of the road in a snowstorm, having a son with a mental breakdown, and being told he could have irreversible brain damage, and all of this, a broken heart, a poor spirit, being reviled and persecuted through all the times I stepped into deep doo-doo and deep water. I surrender all. I will keep singing and serving because I have a Savior, and my worship is for real. I don't worship because of the benefits, but now I am a better driver. I'm a more conscientious eater, a pastor of the greatest church in Indianapolis. My first Her son overcame his breakdown and wrote 2 books. My youngest son can still see. He can see so well. He just graduated from high school and is about to attend Purdue University with his big brother. I launched a podcast that you were listening to. I took what my mentors taught me and launched a business that has been successful because of the grace of God for more than 15 years with my partners. Through it all, I suffer. I serve because of my risen Savior. I know that I'm not the only one suffering. You have been through hell, death, a pandemic, being misunderstood, being mistreated, and through it all, I encourage you to worship while wounded. Just because you're wounded, don't stop worshiping Him. Just because you're wounded, don't stop worshiping Him. Just because you're wounded, don't stop worshiping Him. Worship while wounded. Wounded worshipers must surrender. Wounded worshipers can serve. Wounded worshipers have a Savior. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you for healing my wounds. And though I know there will be more wounds to come for me and the listeners on today, I know that through every wound, there is something beautiful. Through every scar, we're able to know that you are a healer and that by your stripes, we are healed. God, I ask right now that you will give us the strength. You will give us the perseverance. You will give us the courage to worship while wounded, because when we praise you in everything, when we do as the scripture says, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God assigned to us, God, we know that everything is going to be all right and joy will come in the morning. Thank you in advance for the joy that's on the way. Thank you for the peace that's on the way. Thank you for the glory that's on the way. We thank you. We praise you in your precious name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's thank you, Jesus.